Outstanding. Well, as we mentioned last weekend, we had the opportunity to go up to Lake Texoma. This is the very beginning of the weekend. So, as we're driving into Texoma Youth Camp, it's like it's going back home for us. We had many years of large camps there. We've moved over to Lake Levan over the last 4 years. This is Camp 4 for us coming up at Lake Levan, but it brings back some amazing memories to go to Texoma Youth Camp, and as we're driving through, it's just this rush of awesome memories and things that have been taught. And so this is the picture going in. I'm going to ask Lori to come up and talk to us a little bit about the overview of what the weekend was like, and then we're going to open the Bible together and we're going to study some of the passages and things that we talked about over that weekend. So, Lori, you want to come up? Yeah, it is. Your Bible is up here. And you don't have to put this on, but you have to talk into it this way, not the end. So, otherwise, they won't hear you.
Mm-hmm. All right, will you guys bow your heads with me? I know we just prayed. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would be glorified this morning in the presentation of what happened at Breakthrough, how you worked at Breakthrough, how you're continuing to work, Lord. May all those that hear just be encouraged in your Holy Spirit and just help us to glorify you in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, this past weekend we had Breakthrough number one because God has led us this year. We had so much response from our young college-aged men and women that we are having two. So God has blessed us with that. So our first one was this past weekend. It was called Breakthrough. Does that sound funny, Julie?
Be on the side of your mouth.
Over here? Better? Okay, that's better. All right, so college-age young men and women, they aren't all in college. They're college-age. Some of them are already in the workforce and doing that. But we gathered together at Texoma Youth Camp. There were 18 young men and women there as attendees, and there were 8 staff. Just want to tell you guys a little bit about who was there. Ray and Eric came down from Oklahoma to join us in serving. Larry and Brian were there. And just how God used all the different gifts and kind of behind the scenes to serve and support. Just kind of funny, too, how Larry and Brian did all the food and the menu. And just over the years, think about Leslie and Jerry doing that. Leslie and Jerry came out Friday night just to help, jumped into the kitchen and help get some of the food ready and meet some of the kids. Cameron and Addie came out to facilitate and just to serve and mentor. And then Chris and I were there. But we had young men and women from all over just come and just want to grow in their relationship with the Lord and with one another and just to be encouraged in the Word. So, such a blessing. Our theme for the weekend was Awaken. Romans 13:11 was our verse. Our overall passage was Romans 13:11-14. And we were talking about it's time to wake up. And I'll just read. I know Chris is going to get more into the teaching, but our Romans 13:11-14, I'll read that because before every meal and before we prayed, we read our passage again together just to help it sink in and just to be praying about that and asking the Holy Spirit to just teach us what He would have us to know. And so this is Romans 13:11-14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So that was our passage we were looking at. We got into in context. It's actually Ryan Wise, one of our college students, y'all know well, who came up with this theme and said, I think our generation needs to hear this and get into this, and we need to pray about this, and we need to share this. So that's what we were looking at. And as Chris said, just continuing to see just the fruit, you know, the fruit of what God has done through our church in each of our lives. And, you know, one thing we were talking about is in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to turn to it real quick if y'all want to, 1 Corinthians 3, it's God that makes things grow. It's God that causes us to grow. And we just were talking about this, and if there's one thing we can rest in for sure, it's that God's will and God's plan is happening. Would you all agree with that? There's nothing we can do to thwart that. And that is what is happening, and it's God that makes things grow. So if you look in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 through 9, I'm just going to read this real quick. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? So think about all of us. We're only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And so Chris and I just praying about how God just brought all these people together, all the support and the prayers of Spring Valley, so many families and actually so many churches that have prayed for these young people and for all of us. And just continuing to be mindful that each of us may plant a seed or water as the Spirit leads, but it's God that makes all things grow. And just resting in that and just trusting God's plan in that. And just God giving us a little glimpse of the fruit. So what happened at the end of this, at the end of the breakthrough, was so many of these young adults are going to come back in February and bring friends. They're going to bring people that they're going to college with or who they're working with. And it was just a humbling and beautiful thing to see how God is so faithful and just working, not just to bring those that we know, but they're wanting to and responding by faith to the Spirit to grow where they are in their own communities, to grow in the Word, to grow in relationship with the Lord, and to grow with one another. So, Chris is going to go over the teaching, but I just want to tell you guys, we went through the teaching, we went through the gospel, we went through the teaching of our passage, and then I'm going to jump to Sunday real quick and just tell you how we ended this thing on Sunday morning. We came together after doing our observation and interpretation, and we said, it's time to prayerfully prepare for where God has taken us in the new year. And so that's what we did on Sunday morning, preparing for true worship in 2023, is what we called it. So on Sunday morning, we prayed together. We read Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So during this time, we just prayed and we talked about when you go back to where you are, do you have a church? Is it a church that's teaching the truth and praying about that? Do you have someone you can invite with you to church? Is there someone you know who's at a church that you want to go find out more about? What does your prayer life look like? You know, are you making time to talk to the Lord every day? We talked about Bible studies and just finding time in the Word and making sure that you have someone you're learning with or learning under who's teaching the truth and is in the Word of God and it's accurate. And then we talked about prayerfully and intentionally planning. And this is kind of funny, but we asked how many people take time each week to plan their food. Do you guys take any time to talk about where you're going to go eat or what restaurant you're going to go to or what you're having for dinner? Do y'all? I know we do. Spend a lot of time talking about what do we need to shop for, what are we going to eat. How many people spend time planning their social life? So we're asking the kids. How many times, you know, planning when you're going to get together with your friends? Yeah, everybody raised their hand, right? How many people plan when your classes are, get online and find out, rate your professor, and who are the best professors? They spend a lot of time doing that. And so we said, are we having that same intentionality with our spiritual life? You know, what if we prayed and we started every month, every week with saying, okay, Lord, this is my time that I'm going to be in prayer with you. This is my time I'm going to be in the Word and Bible study and find people that can encourage me that I can encourage too. This is my time that I'm going to be in church, you know, and not making a legalistic thing to check the box. But we have to prayerfully pray for those things, and that's what we were talking to them about. So they were on board with that. Great conversations, talking to each other about their own experiences, where they're in church, how they started. Some of them have started Bible studies. Many of them are serving in the churches where they are. So, you know, as Chris said, it was just such an encouragement and just a beautiful time to worship with them, to grow in the Word with them, and just to pray for them as they were preparing for this new year. So Anybody have any questions just on any of that? Oh, pictures. Chris is going to show you. Sure. We always start with icebreakers. So, and that one was actually back-to-back charades they were doing. One thing Chris had them do when they first got there was, because they didn't all know each other. Ooh, we should do this sometime. But go around and say your name and have a little dance step or a little something with your name. And then the next person that went had to say the first person, the second person, and then as it went on around. So when it got to the end, we're all looking and going, ooh, Ross is the last one. He's going to have to remember 20 people. Jeff is taking a step. Dance step, you know, do whatever. But that was pretty cool because then you start to remember, you see them remembering each other's names as they're laughing, seeing the little moves there. So that was fun. Beautiful weather. Lord answered that prayer amazingly. Just, we would get up to go down and start getting coffee ready, or Larry and Brian in there getting breakfast ready, and look out, and kids have already been up. I say kids, y'all know, young men and women. They're down walking by the water. They would just go out and do their own devotion time. It was just awesome, just being surrounded by God's creation and just being able to unplug from all the crazy and just get out there. But the weather was beautiful. We did personal devotion time. We did some pair-up devotion time. Most of our time when coming back together was like this. It was a big group time. Cameron and Addie were facilitating. We were in the Bible, how long would you say, Chris, 4 or 5 hours on Saturday? As we do. I'm gesturing to Phil because he knows through SLAM and all these different things. And we tell him, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be in the Word. This was really cool because, you know, Chris had written through the teaching different references and passages and places to go and context. But seeing them just finding their own and bringing it up and looking through the Word together and asking a lot of questions was awesome. So I think that's all the young men and women, our attendees. And Oklahoma, Arkansas, going to school, Texas, Tennessee, all over. Two of them that are married. We had two come that are married already and just wanting to be a part. This was Saturday night. Ray put together our special event for the evening where we all sat down and ate together and then finished the evening all singing to glory be to Christ. What is it? Glory. All glory be to Christ. Thank you. Singing. So there's Ray and Eric and Larry and Brian and Ray giving our sparkling apple juice toast to the new year. So that was fun. Our Oklahoma crew about to head back, some of them. So not a ton of pictures. But that's okay, right? We were in the Word and enjoying. But anybody got questions just on kind of what we did? Is that encouraging to y'all to just think of all these 18 to 22-year-olds that spent the weekend before they go back to college for the second semester coming together to do this? So anything else, babe?
Good.
Julie?
Just a question about the college kids. Does it include the kids who are of age, the same age group, but do not go to college?
Yes. That's what I was saying earlier. They're not all in college. We just say college age because we really try to keep it to that 18 to 22, 23 year range, but not all of them are in college. So, all right, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was an amazing weekend. And I want to, as Lauren mentioned, we spent about 5 hours in the Bible, and we're going to cover a majority of what we talked about right now. And we're not going to take 5 hours. Did the Cowboys play today? Is it playoff something or other today? They played them all?
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, that's strange. All right, so I was looking at Rick and Terry, because if I said we were going to be here 5 hours and the Cowboys were playing, I'm like, yeah, might as well go ahead and cancel that. On that note, though, there were so many. In order to make this happen, and I know that Lori pointed out the folks that were at camp, and it was really cool to have Jerry and Leslie join us for that evening. In fact, they're going to come back. They've said they will help us at the next one to do some meals as well. But, you know, Terry has been, you know, very intimately involved in helping us make all this stuff, administratively speaking and cost-wise, and just jot forms, that, y'all, if you've never dealt with jot forms, I'm glad I don't have to, and Terry does, because that, I would throw that thing out the window. But she makes it work to get everybody signed up, because it's part of the administration that goes into it. And we are all given different blessings and different gifts, and Terry's and is one definitely of administration, and we are so thankful for it. So thank you for that. And so didn't want to pass that by without calling that out as well. But when we started on Friday, so we came in and Lori showed, you know, we did some dance steps, and that was fun. But the thing is with these young people that are coming in, different places, different ages, some of them we've never met before, which is so cool to walk in and have, you know, the people, all of it's like the family reunion of the kids that are there. They've been growing up through the youth ministry with us, and you know, hugs, and it's like, oh, I haven't seen you since like last week. No, but I haven't seen you in a year or whatever. And then you run into these people, you're looking at them, and I'm so bad with names, first of all, you know, so confessional time here. I'm terrible with names. And so I'll look at somebody, I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm so excited to see you. I have no idea what your name is. But there was kids that walked in, young people that walked in, and I didn't know who they were. I'm like, I know faces. And there were a couple of, and obviously I had seen the list of people that were coming. So we knew they were coming. But it's really cool when that core group of people have brought others to be a part of this thing, and you get to meet them and you get to know them. And Jonah and Brooke, I think, were two that were here this past time, and I remember their names. Lori helps me with that. So, what a cool thing that is to, and then coming up and then seeing all of those, so many of these young people that were in January that are going to come back in February and bring more. But the whole point of me saying that is, we have people that walk in, we don't know what their background is, right? There's not a check the box if you're Catholic, if you're a believer, if you're, you know, Satan worshiper. We don't have any of that on the application. I mean, great administrative stuff. But we have no idea where these young people are coming from sometimes. And so we always go back to the basics. We have a good time. We get to know each other. We pray together. We have a meal together. They sit together and get to know each other a little bit. And then we jump into the gospel. And we start every one of our events, every one of our youth events with the gospel, because we don't know where they're coming from. And when we started talking about Romans 13, 11 through 14, it's like, okay, it's great to know these, to go through this, but the starting point is, do you believe? Because if you don't believe in the gospel, if you don't believe in Christ, this is a moral, you know, a moral thing. A self-help book. If you, I should say, this is a self-help book if you don't believe in the gospel. But we start there, and we went all the way back to, and you all know the gospel. And I know that folks online know the gospel that are paying attention here. But we, in this particular case, I just want to cover off on a few things that we went all the way back to the beginning. Genesis. God created everything good. The way he created everything was good, and man sinned. And we are sinners. When God breathed life into man, created out of the dust and breathed life into his nostrils, the first thing man saw was God. He's face to face with God, and God created him good and created the environment good, and everything was good, and God saw everything good. But man turned against God, and he sinned. And the wages of sin, as declared by God himself to Adam, is death. Spiritual death and physical death. Man sinned and turned from God. And so the penalty of that sin is death. And the question you have to ask yourself is, okay, now what? I am going to pay the penalty. But God came along and said, I'll pay the penalty for you. It was in the garden. When he created the coverings of shame for Adam and Eve out of the animal skin, the animal died and man's shame was covered. Man tried to do it by pulling off some leaves and covering himself. And God looked at it and said, ain't going to work. You can't do it. I have to do it. And death is a part of that equation. And so we start with, do you believe there's a God? Do you believe that man is a sinner? And you believe man's sin and the wages of those sins is death. And do you believe God saves sinners? That's the question we have to get down to. Do you believe that God saves sinners? Because of his love, God provided a way out. He sent a substitute to take our place, Genesis 3:21 and Romans 6:23. The substitute to take our place is Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus became humanity for us, and he paid the penalty of sin on the cross. The perfect human that was God stood before his Father and bared the sin of the world for all of us. And all we have to do is believe. This is great news, the gospel. But what do I have to have salvation? I understand. I know this. I knowledge of this stuff. Absolutely. You got to know what we're talking about. But the question comes down to be saved from eternal separation from God. You have to believe. And so we lay the question out before them, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, bearing the sins of the world, that whoever believes, places their faith in who he is and what he did for you, will have everlasting life. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, so no one can boast. And so the time is now to wake up. You get to make a decision right now, right here. Do I believe that I am a sinner in need of a Savior? Do I believe that the God who created me loved me enough to make a way for me to live with him forever? Do I believe that Christ loved me so much that he was willing to take the penalty of my sin upon himself? That he was willing to die for me? Do I believe that our Savior was raised from the dead, and our hope is that I will be raised to him and with him forever? All you have to do is believe. But you have to make a choice. Are you going to choose today? Are you going to wait and see what happens? That was the intro. That was the gospel on Friday night. And then we gave them the opportunity to do their testimony. So some of these young people have been believers forever. Forever in their terms. 2 or 3 years, that's forever. Some of them have been believers since they were 2 or 3, 5, 6 years old, whatever the time of awareness was for them. And they were raised that way. And then we moved from that, from the testimonies, and we had a couple of people give their testimony, which was awesome. The cool part about this is we gave them some guidelines. Hey, this is what a testimony looks like, and there's a reason to have a testimony, and then we let them go write their testimony. And some of them came back, and you know, they may have had an exact, okay, this is when I was saved, and etc. And others came back and said, my testimony isn't about the moment I was saved, but it's the moment that changed my life. Sometimes those are two dramatically different things, right? We can be saved and live like the world, or we can be saved and fall in love with Jesus Christ. And we had a couple of folks that gave us their testimony in front of the group, and it was beautiful. And I will not share those because it's theirs to share, but suffice it to say, it was beautiful. And then the next day we moved into true worship. And we give them these guidelines. There's more questions in here than there are answers, because the answers are here. And so we give them the guidelines to ask the questions to go find the answers. Right? And the cool part about the breakthrough versus some of the slam stuff we do, and it's awesome, but when you're talking about slam, that's more of the high school age, and Phil comes in and teaches, and we present information, and we give them information, and we ask them questions, and have them break up, and then we get them back together, and then we give them, you know, the answers. We don't give them the answers at breakthrough. We give them the way to find the answers. Because the whole point, y'all, is we want them to be able to walk away from here, go to a church and find answers, but what about the part where you get together with your friends and you pull them in and you have these discussions? Because they do it. They're having these things. How do we teach them the framework of observation, interpretation, and application? And then we ask them to do that here and find those answers and see how God speaks to them through the Bible. And then, obviously, it's incredibly important that we reinforce going back to a church, find a local community, find a church that teaches the truth and teaches enough depth that you can grow, right? Enough depth that you can grow in his word. And so we started with true worship. And Lori read the passage that we started with, but we started out on the beginning, on the morning. So if you would open your Bibles, please, to Romans 13, chapter 11, because I want you to walk along this journey with me. Romans 13, chapter 11. And it says in 11 through 14, I know we just read it, but we're going to read it again. Because this is how we get familiar. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So y'all and Pastor Maddox, I hope you're listening, you would be so proud. We read that and we started out with, and do this, and that's all the farther we got before we actually started going other places. And do this. What is it talking about when he starts Romans chapter 13, verse 11 with, and do this? It goes all the way back. So please turn one page back to chapter 12, because in context, what he's referring to, and do this, is between chapter 12, verse 1, and chapter 13, verse 11. But it's summarized in the very beginning, chapter 12. So we're going to read chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. And so we spent the first hour talking about the first three words. And it's actually only two words in the Greek. And one of them is a like transitional word, like and do this. And so we spent a good amount of time. What does it mean? What are these things we're talking about? What is God's mercy? And in reflection upon Friday night, it was so easy for this to come together. What is God's mercy? God's mercies is our salvation. It's the gospel. What is God's mercy? It's the gospel. And what is He calling us to do in verses 1 and 2? He's calling us to present ourselves, as our bodies, as a living sacrifice. And I'm not going to go through every one of these references, y'all. We can send this electronically or we can post the whole book if you want. But there are references and references and references. And we spent over an hour and a half cruising through all of these references, understanding what this means. And do this. What is a living sacrifice? What are our bodies? What does He mean? What are we supposed to do and what are we not supposed to do? The great mercy, the gospel, what does it mean by our bodies? He's talking about us. Everything. Everything that we have. What is our body? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. As believers, the Holy Spirit lives within us. The indwelling of the Spirit. So we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Went back to the Old Testament, Leviticus 1, 4 and 5. And looking at the sacrifices and understanding what those sacrifices are. And what was given, what does it mean to have a living sacrifice? Old Testament sacrifice, what was given up? Everything. Everything was given up. The life was given up. Everything was presented to God as a sacrifice. And so what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? We are to give everything. Our call to God is to give Him everything. Our life, our soul, our spirit, it all belongs to Him. So we are called to give, to be a living sacrifice. Present ourselves, because of the gospel, present ourselves as a living sacrifice. This is our true and proper worship. It's pretty fun because when we put on the schedule, we put worship time, and that's where we play music. And we get together and we worship together and we praise together. And sometimes you get to that place where all of a sudden worship is music and worship is singing. And this was really neat to watch them understand, watch all of us understand, it's not just music. It can be music, but it's everything we have. It's everything we do. When we give Him everything, then we are worshiping Him properly. And don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are we called to do? We're called to not conform to the world, but be transformed into the likeness of Christ through the renewing of our minds, the study of the Word of God, going to church, study, opening the Bible, reading the Bible, doing the things that God calls upon us to do. And also, y'all, it's about fellowship with one another. We are called to be together. Had this moment a few weeks back where I was just thinking about church. And when you think about the body of Christ, and you go in and you sit down and you worship together and you love one another and you enjoy each other's company and your friendship and your fellowship, that's what heaven's going to be like, y'all. We, together, as the body of Christ and all those brothers and sisters that go to different churches and sing different music and dance and jump, and if they're believers, we will all sit together and worship our Lord together. True worship, apart from the presence of sin and in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's heaven. That's our heaven on earth, is doing that together as a body. That's church. That's His body. And then we went to the next part. So back to chapter 13, if you would. And the next part, and y'all, I'm summarizing because I'm telling you, we did 5.5 hours and you would throw me out after about 4, I think. Maybe shorter period of time. But just think, just picture those kids sitting around that table and bouncing. I didn't sit up and do anything. I didn't stand up and do these things for them. They did this together. We'd ask the question. Cameron and Addie would ask the question, or somebody else would ask a question. And next thing you know, we're going over here. We got into signs and worship. I mean, signs and wonders. Oh, what about spiritual gifts? And what about signs and wonders? I'm like, okay, we're going way off track, but let's answer a couple questions. And whoop, we pull them back in. That's the facilitator's job. But it was so cool to see them just bounce all over the place in the Bible and challenge each other in the context of some of the things that were being said. Not just, well, because that one on that particular point, somebody had talked about, you know, are there still spiritual gifts? Because, you know, you don't see the signs and wonders. And somebody else said, well, those were spiritual gifts for a time, but what about all these other spiritual gifts? And the next thing you know, they're talking about spiritual gifts. How cool. It was very cool, and we were very blessed. So, reading Romans 11 through 14, we won't read that again because we already have, but look, starting in the next part of the verse, after do this, because we've only gotten to two words, I'll speed up. Next part of the verse, verse 11, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from the slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What is the present time? What is the present time that they're talking about here? Then we got into, will Christ return? The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So we talked about the present time, 2 Corinthians 6:2. And I'm going to have to look these up because we didn't write them all down for them because we made them open their Bibles. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Present time, I tell you now. Sorry, there it is. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So what does that mean? So they spent some time talking about this. And we had to get to the point of, will Christ return? In Acts 1:11. And when will Christ return? That was really the question, because the majority of these were believers and they had strong backgrounds and they recognized that Christ will return. And then, when will Christ return? Because that's really the question that we want to understand from the standpoint of wake up. Because remember, awaken is our theme. When will he return? And the answer, we don't know. But we better be ready. We better be ready. Because understanding the present time, every day that we live in our salvation, which we live in our salvation right now, every day that we grow closer to the end, he is closer to returning. The hour has already come for you to wake up. Don't wait. We don't know when he's going to return. You don't have tomorrow to be luxuriously roaming around acting like the world and participating in all the things of the world and conforming to the world. What if he comes tomorrow? You know what? We talked about shame. When he does return, will we be ashamed? Man, that jumped us right into the great white throne judgment. It jumped us into the judgment seat of Christ. You want to talk about going all over the place. You wonder why we were in there for 5 hours? There's a lot to cover. And these were the questions that they were asking. And so why do we need to wake up? What is our slumber? I'll ask y'all, what is your slumber? Where are the areas of your life that you're asleep when it comes to your spiritual walk? Where are those things that we decide we're going to do these, we know we can do these, and we're just kind of, you know, sleep our way through it? We all have to answer that question. And then the question that we asked after that was, at what point do we realize that we've fallen asleep? There's a question for y'all. Physical sleep. When do you realize that you have fallen asleep? Not a rhetorical question. Anybody know?
When you start dreaming.
Most of the time you don't know you're asleep. You think you're awake, right? When you're dreaming. When do we wake up? That's the moment we realize we've fallen asleep, is when we wake up. And so how many of us fall asleep and just live our lives half asleep, and then we wake up and realize what we've missed? At what point do we realize that we've fallen asleep? When we finally wake up. And so what is our salvation referring to here? And we got into the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. And this was so cool, because when we were talking about some of these things, they were like, I'm not sure how that ties in. And then you get to the next section that we're going to talk about in a second. And they're starting to recognize these things, these pieces of, hey, we're not talking about justification. We're talking about sanctification. Man, you want to talk about, whoa, how many churches don't even be able to teach that, right? I mean, you're talking about young people that are talking about sanctification and justification and penalty of sin and the power of sin and the presence of sin. Now, we kind of gave them some baby steps to get there, but they got there and they were talking about these things. And then the last question we had on this page was thinking about Jesus as the coming King. Why should we wake up and prepare for His arrival? Because we don't want to stand before Him ashamed. Then we talked about in the afternoon. So that was the entire morning. So we had about 2.5 or so hours of between devotion and Bible study. We had about 2.5 hours of study in that morning, and that's some pretty good stuff. It was awesome. I would say heavy stuff, but it was just the joy that was coming out of this conversation was amazing. But it was deep. We had some very deep conversations, which was awesome. And then we got into get dressed. Right, and so when you look at Romans 13:12-13, it says the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. And we sent them away to take time to prepare through observation. And note how the passage Paul talks about putting aside and putting on. God always gives us physical examples of spiritual truths. Think about walking, waking up and getting dressed in the morning. We may not always think about it, but at that moment we wake up. We have to decide what our day is going to look like and how we're planning to dress. Are we going to class? Are we going to work? Are we going to go work out? Are we going to dress up for an evening event? How much thought do we put into what clothes we put on when we get dressed in the morning? Or in the afternoon or evening. But do we spend time thinking about that? How much time do we spend thinking about how we're dressing ourselves spiritually? Do we spend that time thinking about what we're putting on, and we're intentional? Now, the guys were looking at each other going, yeah, I have a sweatshirt, jeans. But we know it's a lot more than that when it comes to our spiritual walk. And so how to dress? We must put aside our sinful nature and put on the armor of light. Who rules the night? Satan rules the night. And what is the day? We talked about this when we were talking about when we studied 1 John, walking in the light, John 8:12. We will not walk in the darkness if we walk with Him. And why does God care how we act? Because we're here to glorify Him. One of the things that we spent a few minutes talking about on the first night was the Bible is not about us. It's to us. It's written for us. And it's a blessing for us. But the Bible is about God. And so, why does He care how we act? Because we're here to glorify Him. How do we renew our minds? We study the Word of God and we glorify Him. In the things that we do, we glorify God. And we spent a little bit of time talking about, is one sin worse than another sin in the eyes of God? And boy, that can be exciting when you have a group of people that are coming from a lot of different places. You know what we got down to? The wages of sin is death. In the eyes of God, do they have different consequences? Do they have different outcomes? Do they have different impacts on the world? Sins? Yes. But is one more important to God than another? The penalty of all sin is death. It's the same penalty. It separates us from Him. And so we spent a good amount of time. I was waiting for the... I have that feeling we might see it at the next one. I was waiting for the suicide. It's the unforgivable sin. We haven't gotten there. Didn't go there on this one. But I have that feeling that we'll talk about that next time around. And so, what about sexual immorality? Now, this is a group of college-age young people. And y'all, and if you haven't noticed, in today's culture, sexual immorality is not really a big deal. But we spent a good amount of time talking about why is it a big deal. And it was awesome. And why is this such a big deal? Because we were created in the image of God. God has a plan for the marriage. He has a plan. It's the example of the defiled marriage versus the pure marriage is an example of the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom. It's a testimony to the world. It also has a tendency to mess up procreation when you get that wrong. So, and why do we need to put on the armor of light? And we went to Galatians. I lost my place here. We put on the full armor of God, and it was really cool. Several years ago, we did that at camp, and so many of them remembered the armor of God, and we talked through the armor of God. What is the armor of light? Ephesians 6:10-17. It's the armor of God. We put on Christ when our old ways are nailed to the cross, and we wear the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ as a glorious garment for all the world to see. So the question to them was, what are you refusing to nail to the cross that is preventing you from putting on the armor of light? And then that was another hour's worth of conversation. At this point, we were handing them Dr. Peppers because they were getting tired, to wake them up a little bit, run around a little bit. They had some fun in here. I mean, they had some physical activities, things that were going on too. But for the most part, the entire day was spent right here, focused on this. And so as we move into the last part, Romans 13:14, it says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your heart, desires of the flesh. And what does it mean to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn to 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So, what does it mean to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? We got into how do we clothe ourselves? And we all know this one, Colossians 2:6. We walk in the Spirit. For just as we were saved, so also walk. It's through faith. So turn to Galatians 5:13 through 18 for me. Galatians 5 and 13 through 18. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So how do we clothe ourselves? We walk in the Spirit. How do we receive Christ Jesus as our Savior? By faith. How do we walk in the Spirit? By faith. It is not of ourselves. It is God's grace gift, not of our works. So how do we walk in the Spirit? We walk by faith. How do we sustain our walk? Turn to Ephesians 3. If you're looking for Ephesians 14, it's not there. 3, 14 through 20. Just a couple pages over. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We are clothed in Christ when we become so closely united with Jesus that others see him and not us. It's the fruit. It's the fruit. And so we asked some of the questions: in what way do people see Christ in you? Do people even know you're a Christian? What areas of your life do you put yourself in the spotlight when you could put Christ in the spotlight? And so now what? Do this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Wake up. The Lord is coming, and we don't know when it's going to be. And if we don't wake up, we could have the opportunity to stand before him in shame. When we are apart from the presence of sin and glorifying him for all eternity, there will be no tears, no shame, no fear, no death. All those old things will have passed away. But when we are standing before him at the judgment throne of Christ, we don't want to stand there in shame. When he returns and we look up and we're heading towards him, we don't want to stand before our Savior asleep. Wake up. Get dressed. Put on the full armor of God. Take time in the morning to think about the fact that we need to get dressed in the armor of God, just as we got to get dressed in our blue jeans and polo shirt to go to class. Or our suit and tie to go to work. And walk. Walk with him. The opportunity for us to walk with him every moment of every day stands before us. It's a decision. How do we do that? We trust him.
Martha has a question.
Hello, Martha.
Hold on. Let me read it out.
Martha has a question.
I understand that the wages of sin is death. However, since our sins were taken care of on the cross, why is different sins a relevant topic?
The point of the conversation around different sins is that God doesn't look at sins. All sins are, the wages of all sins, how do I say that? Our death is death. It's like, man, I got an English person. I mean, I have an English teacher sitting in front of me. This is hard. So the whole point was the fact that God doesn't look at the sins differently. The consequences are different. The consequences and impact on the people around you and the world may be different. But the wages of sin is death. All sin. We don't get to choose which ones are okay and which ones are not. All sins. The wages of all sin. And yes, Martha, the point was not whether or not we would die to those sins. The point is the way God looks at those sins. And he said they were all sin is, the wages of all sin is death. But yet he gave his son to die for all of them. Which was Christ's death, correct. The price was paid. The substitute was Christ on the cross for us. Hopefully that answered your question, Martha. I don't know. But feel free to text Julie in a second if you have more questions. But that's where we are with regards to... We're going to make some tweaks and modifications of some things that were asked and maybe didn't come across quite as clearly. Apologies, I did not have 5 hours to go through this with y'all to go into the depth, so we kind of highlighted some things. But suffice it to say, the conversation and the point, it's really two points. The first point was teaching them that you've got to start when you're opening your Bible, one, with prayer, so that you're walking into this thing with the power of the Spirit. You've also got to spend time in observation. One of the things that we were pointing out is, as we went through, is that it's so easy to pop the book open, pop the Bible open, grab a passage, start reading it, and the first question you ask is, how does that apply to me? Well, one, it's not about you. It's about God. So start there. What is it telling you about God? But you've got to do the observations. Otherwise, when you go to the interpretation, you're going to make stuff up. Because when you're observing, it's going to force you into context. So this is, you know, if you're just looking for, this is a what color shirt, it's red. Okay, cool. But what about the things where what is there? What's not there? What about the conversations? Are we talking about justification? Or are we talking about sanctification? Boy, you want to jump into 1 John without understanding those differences, you can go all over the place, right? We spent some time there. So the point was to teach them the framework in which you can open the Bible, and we should all be doing that. That's not a college, you know, we'll teach the college age kids that. Every single one of us, when we open the Bible, to read the Bible, we should spend that time in observation and then interpretation. And one of the big question there and the big push there was the Bible interprets the Bible. When we say interpretation, we're not asking your opinion about what you think it means. Because if you do that, you're going to go all over crazy places. There's a whole fleet of people out there that do crazy things with the Bible because what does it mean to me? Well, until you observe it, until you interpret it correctly using the Bible, please don't go to application. Because application comes from, what does it say about God? And what is God saying His will is for me? That's where we get to apply it to our lives. That is one of the big parts, and then, one of the main things we try to teach the framework there so that they can go start their own Bible studies and have those things. In their college towns and with their friends, but they know how to come back to context. Context, context, context. Right? The three rules of studying the Bible. And so, but in closing, I just wanted to reemphasize something that Lori had said. As we look around and we don't see a lot of kids that are coming here. Right, we don't have this giant youth group where everybody's coming in the back, and we got big screen TVs and a band that comes in and does music worship. Y'all, God grows, and what we are seeing with so many of these young people, and they are on a journey just like we are. They don't know everything just like we don't. But to see them hungry for the Word, to see them hungry for fellowship with each other, to see them hungry to open the Bible together and start a Bible study, to want to pray together, to take a weekend, the weekend before many of these kids went back to school, like the last 2 days of their Christmas break, they came and said, we want to spend it here. 5 hours of opening the Bible together on Saturday, praying together, eating together, worshiping together, praying together. I said that twice because we did a lot of that too. I want everybody to know that the fruit that is being produced from the things that we as a congregation have chosen to support through this youth ministry, it's not us, it's God. And it is a blessing. And so I hope this is a bit encouraging to everybody. Pastor Maddox, if you're listening, I hope it's encouraging to you. Your faithful teaching has been a blessing to all of us, and fruit is being produced outside of just these folks sitting in this chair. And that should be a blessing to all of us and an encouragement to every single one of us. So thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for our congregation. We thank you for our family, our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that we can come together and open your word together. We thank you for the faithful teaching of Pastor Maddox that have taught so many of us so many things that we can go plant seeds and we can water. And that's the point, Father, is to see God, see you grow that fruit. We thank you for Phil and Kit standing up here and faithfully teaching. Father, we just thank you for always being faithful to us, always loving us, always caring about us. Father, I just pray that we all stay awake. We all stay awake and look for your coming. Look for your Son to show up and pull us to him. We don't know when it is, but I pray that we're prepared when he does arrive. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the blessings that you give to us every day. And we thank you for the salvation that we receive through your Son. Faith in him. In Christ's name, amen.